Well, good morning. Ethan threw me. He paused there, and I wasn't ready, but that's okay. He kept going, and so it is an opportunity to just say thank you for being here. Thank you for starting your week, coming here with the intention of worshiping God and refocusing our thoughts and our goals and our motives on Him. So we are in a series for the summer called A Summer of One Anothering, where we're looking at some but not all of the one another passages in the New Testament. And we've started out several weeks ago by saying that one anothering is all about how we relate to one another, how we treat each other. And that's the goal, that's the focus of this series. We've looked at loving one another, we've looked at praying for one another, and last week we looked at encouraging one another. When we encourage, we come alongside others. We warn them if necessary. We comfort them. We challenge them. We help them. But we do it alongside them. We also do it by being patient with them. And Paul specifically said we're to be patient with all. Not some, not just those who it's easy, but all. We encourage others by coming alongside and speaking God's word, God's truth, and God's counsel to them. And we ended last week with a couple of challenges, specifically how we can encourage someone this week. First, start out by asking someone these questions. Am I an encourager? Do I encourage others or discourage others? So did you do that? Did you ask your spouse, a friend, did you ask your parents that question? And the other one was the fact that positive words are difficult to remember. Negative words are difficult to forget. So the challenge from that was, did we encourage someone? Yes, verbally, but more importantly, in writing. Did you send someone a note, a card, an email? Did you encourage someone this week? Who was it, and how did you encourage them? So as we've looked at the one another's, all of them have something in common. All of them that we won't look at, all of them in Scripture have something in common. I know, Pastor Brian, they're in the Bible, in the New Testament. Yes, but that's not what I'm talking about. Okay, I got it. I know it is. It's the fact that you told us the first week that they all have the word allelon in there with a verb, usually a command. Yes, but that's not all they have in common. They all have in common the fact that they are not natural. They are not natural. We don't naturally love one another. We naturally love ourselves. We don't naturally pray for one another. We don't naturally encourage one another. And if we do it, it's occasionally, it's sporadic, it's not consistent. We don't do it to everyone, without exception. We can't do it on our own. We need help. One anothering is not natural, it is supernatural. That's what all the one anothers have in common. Without the supernatural intervention of God, we wouldn't even know we were supposed to one another because we would be so selfish and so self-centered. Ezekiel talks about our heart being made of stone. All we care about is ourselves. We don't know that we need to do these things. We don't even know we need a heart transplant because that's what Ezekiel said. He describes salvation as God taking out that heart of stone and replacing it with a heart of flesh, one that is sensitive, receptive to His words and His instructions. A heart transplant. We don't even know we need one. But even after we realize this with God's help and we respond to the gospel, we do that. We pray, we accept Jesus as our Savior, we become a disciple of Jesus Christ. When that happens, we're still not naturally one anothering. Paul describes himself in a way that we can all relate to, we all know is true. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. We understand that even after a heart change, a heart transplant, we don't one another. We want to treat others naturally. We want to get even. We want to take revenge. We want to retaliate. We want to give them what we think they deserve and a little extra so that they remember not to do that to us again. That's where this morning's one another comes in. We actually read it last week as part of our one another in 1 Thessalonians, and here it is. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. That is what we're going to talk about this morning. What we're going to talk about is not doing evil, doing good for others. But what comes natural is doing evil to others because we want to get our revenge. And Paul goes on in Galatians to say, you know what, if you're going to choose not to do good to people but you do evil, here's where you're going to end up. But if you bite and devour, if you return evil for evil to one another, beware lest you are consumed by one another. It just gets worse. It just destroys people, relationships, churches, families. What's our one another this morning? Our one another this morning is do not retaliate against one another. That's what we're going to talk about this morning. So let's pray before we do that. Father God, this is a passage that is going to touch all of our hearts this morning. We're so willing and so eager sometimes, and it's so natural to want to get even. Lord, as we look at this passage and the instructions you give us, may we be thinking of the person next to us or the person who may not be here. Maybe we recognize our own tendency, our natural desire to retaliate, to get even, and help us to grow in one anothering, in loving, in encouraging, and praying for one another rather than retaliating. Lord, speak to us this morning as individuals and as a church. May we be growing in these one another's because it is supernatural. And that when we conduct ourselves, act, and speak in ways that follow these one another's, that live them out, we are a testimony, we are salt and light, and we have an opportunity to point to you and say, it's not because of me, but because of the one who saved me. Lord, remove distractions, as Dan already prayed, that we would be thinking about ourselves this morning, the God we're here to worship, and his word. We thank you and praise you for meeting with us. May you be pleased with not only what's said and done, but our response to your prompting, to your conviction, and to your word. We thank you for this, we praise you for this, and for your son, and we ask it all in his name, Jesus. Amen. So as we talk about do not retaliate against one another, 1 Thessalonians 5, Galatians 5 tell us don't. Don't do it, instead do good. But we're going to actually look at Romans chapter 12 to say, understand what we should do, how we should not retaliate. So I invite you to join me there, Romans chapter 12. We're going to gain a better understanding of what this looks like. We will be in verses 17 through 21. If you don't happen to have a copy of God's Word with you, under one of the chairs in front of you, you can find a brown covered book, page 723, you will find Romans 12. Before we go any farther, I want you to consider something this morning. I want to encourage us, I want to challenge us. Do not look at any of these one another's, and especially this morning, as a theoretical idea. I understand the idea, yes, I'm supposed to do good to others, not retaliate. I want you to think specifically. I want you to think of someone in your life, in the past or right now, who has wronged you, who has hurt you, has offended you, and how you responded. Maybe you did retaliate, or maybe you're planning to. And in light of today's message, I want you to think of them and how you're going to conduct yourself. So let's read our text this morning, Romans chapter 12, starting verse 17. Paul again repeats the instructions we've already seen in Galatians and 1 Thessalonians. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to the wrath. For it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If your enemy is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So what we're going to find this morning from these few verses is five ways to help us not retaliate against one another. Five ways not to retaliate. And it begins, do not retaliate by using gas to put out a fire. Do not retaliate by using gas to put out a fire. We already saw Galatians and 1 Thessalonians says, do not render evil for evil to anyone. That's what Paul says. Do not repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Why are we given this instruction? Why are we given this command? Solomon actually explains why. Paul just says, don't do this. Solomon says, this is why you don't do this. A soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. When two or more sinful people, even saved people, are together, there is innumerable opportunities for disagreements, for conflict, for anger, for arguments, hurt feelings, miscommunications, misunderstandings, taking something that was said or done the wrong way, taking something out of context, overreacting, on and on and on. When that happens, not if, when that happens, and it will, I have a choice to make. I can solve the problem and put out the fire using a fire extinguisher. Do it the right way. I can respond biblically. I can react biblically. I can have a soft answer, not a harsh one. I can communicate under control, calmly, not raising my voice, not losing my temper, being patient, even if someone else is doing the exact opposite. Or I can solve the problem by putting out the fire with gas. I can raise my voice. I can become angry. I can lose my temper. I can yell. I can shout. I can storm off. Maybe I'm remaining calm on the outside, but I'm planning how to get even on the inside. Or maybe I'm just going to say, I'm done with that person. I'm going to cut them out of my life. I don't want anything to do with them. And then I will go and run them down and gossip about them and criticize them at every opportunity and with anyone who will listen. Every chance I get, which feeds my anger, which feeds my bitterness. Bitterness is a bad thing. Bitterness hardens your heart on the inside and your features on the outside. It also spreads to those around you because it is contagious. Being bitter is a really bad place to be. It will consume you. It will ruin your life. It will make you miserable. And it will make other people around you miserable. Or it will make other people around you not want to be around you because they don't like it. But most of all, it will never solve the problem that started it. If this is where you are, if you are bitter or you're going down that road this morning, you need to deal with it today. You need to stop and deal with it. It's not going to solve itself. It will not heal itself. It will not get better on its own. It will only get worse unless you deal with it. Now, this is with people we know. Do you realize that you can put out fire with gasoline even with someone you don't know? Here's some examples. You're driving down the road and someone cuts you off. You're driving down the road and it says merge and no one will let you in. You're driving down the road and someone is on your bumper and won't get off your bumper. How do I put out that fire with gas? Well, I speed up and cut them off. I get even. Or I lay on my horn excessively. I yell at them. They don't know what I'm saying, but they know that I'm angry. Or maybe I tailgate them. Or maybe if they're still tailgating me, I do what I was told, or I shouldn't say taught, because I wasn't taught this. I learned was a brake check. So you lay on your brakes when they're right on your bumper so that they have to lay on yours. They get the point. I don't like what you're doing. I'm pouring gas on that fire. And then you have the problem of then stopping at the next stoplight and then getting out and being angry and banging on your car. So you can just pour gas on the fire even if you've never met someone. What happens when we put out a fire like that with gas? The same thing that happens when we actually pour literal gas on a literal fire. And as you see, it spreads. It doesn't stay contained. Is this our MO, our standard operating procedure? We fight fire with fire. We put a fire out with gas. We return evil for evil. We retaliate. We do and say something that will escalate, not solve a problem. We don't speak, we don't act in a way that is God-honoring, that will reduce conflict, that will solve the problem, that will produce unity. If we put out a fire with gas, the only thing it guarantees is the fire will spread and more people will get burned. Putting out a fire with gas, literal or figuratively, ensures that it spreads and everyone gets burned. When you and I are tempted to do this, not if, when, to try to put out that fire, return evil for evil, when we've done it, when we start to do it, what should we do? The first thing is, if you've done it, repent. Ask God for forgiveness and then ask that person or people that were involved for forgiveness. And then, if you haven't done it, or to prevent yourself from stepping into that mess again, be thankful. Look for reasons to be thankful. Well, Pastor Brian, if that guy cut me off, how can I be thankful? How many of you drove someplace this week? How many of you guys have air conditioning in your car? Can you be thankful that you didn't drive in 80-degree, 90-degree weather? That you didn't have to walk? That your car got you there? What about a person that I know, that I want to return evil for evil with? Is there anything you can think of that is good about that person? First of all, they're made in God's image. If they're a believer, God has saved them. And you can start looking at them and saying, what things has God blessed them with? What skills, what talents, what abilities? What can I be thankful for in general? You're here this morning. You got out of bed this morning. You are breathing. Someone often says to me, how are you doing? Well, I'm vertical. Okay, that's the whole point. You have another day to serve God and to bless others. When I choose to be thankful, there's no room for anger or bitterness. When I choose to be thankful, there's no room for anger or bitterness. How do I not retaliate? Do not retaliate by using gas to put out a fire. Do not retaliate. Instead, choose to be responsible for yourself. Look at verse 18. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Now we understand that, and Paul even specifies, as much as it depends on you, relationships are a two-way street. Both parties are responsible, not for each other, but for themselves. I cannot make you do anything. You cannot make me do anything. I'm accountable for myself. We know that we cannot control other people. How many of you parents can control everything your child does? As much as you want to, you can't. We know it. The only one we can control is ourselves, is me. We can control what we do. We can control what we say. That's why Proverbs tells us, a soft answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stirs up anger. I make that choice. No matter what the other person does, I have a choice. I can respond in kind, or I can respond returning good for evil. Not only can we control what we say and what we do, we can control what we think. Come on, Pastor Brian, you're not serious that I can control what I think. I am serious, and so is God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. If God is saying, do this, it's not impossible. You can do it. And then in Philippians, he tells us this. Whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, If there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate, think, choose what you're thinking about on these things. That is one way we can be responsible for ourselves. We can choose our thoughts, our actions, our motivations, our words. How else can we be responsible for ourselves? John MacArthur, in commenting on this part of Romans, says, short of compromising God's truth and standards, we should be willing to go to great lengths to build peaceful bridges to those who hate us and harm us. We must forsake any grudge or settled bitterness. How do we do that? How can we get over this? How do we do this? The best way, one of the most practical ways, is to follow 1 Corinthians 13. There's two phrases from that passage. Love thinks no evil. Love believes all things. Thinks no evil. It is so easy for me to infer, imply, assume. I know and understand the motives behind what someone has said and done. And then I interpret not only what they did, but everything else they do in light of what I think I know, what I believe. And sadly, our natural thoughts, my natural thought is people's motives are bad. They're intentionally doing harm to me. They aren't good. They aren't positive. But that's where love comes in. That's where loving others, thinking no evil, comes in. Love helps me do that. It says, don't keep a record of what they've done. That's what love does. Don't keep an account, whether physical or mental, of what they've done, the wrongs I think they've done to me. Don't allow that to influence my thoughts, my words, my actions. Love also believes all things. Love thinks the best, not the worst. It is not cynical. It is not suspicious. If there's the slightest doubt, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to assume the best about them and their motives, not the worst. If I'm not sure, assume the best, not the worst, with what they said or what they did. What is controlling our thoughts, our actions, and our words? Is it love or desire to get even, to retaliate? Do we think the best about people or the worst? What do we assume about the motives of others? And when we assume the wrong thing, how do we correct? Are we seeking to be responsible for ourselves or simply retaliate? Do not retaliate and try to take God's job. That's from verse 19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. New King James says, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place. Literally, get out of the way. Get out of the way of God doing his job. When we retaliate, return evil for evil, we're trying to do God's job. We're actually getting in the way of him doing what is best, what is right. We think we know what's been done, why it's been done, and what the appropriate response is. And so we're going to say, God, I'm going to step in. I'm going to take care of this. You're not doing it or not doing it fast enough. In other words, we simply say, I am going to be the judge, the jury, and the executioner. I am going to plead my case before the judge. The jury, me, myself, and I, have going to decide that this person is guilty. I'm going to bang the gavel, render the verdict, and then I'm going to distribute the punishment. Here's the problem. We don't have all the facts of the case. We're attempting to do this without knowing all the information we need to know. Only God has all the information to make the proper judgment. I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings, Jeremiah 17. The righteous God tests the hearts and minds, Psalm 7. We think we know the motives. God does know them. He knows our motives and others. We only think we know others. We only assume we do. What if we get it wrong? What if we overreact? What if we hand out a punishment that doesn't fit the crime? Because we're retaliating and we're being vindictive. We're being punitive. We're too severe. Because our motive is not simply justice, it's to get even, to take vengeance, to pay back, get that little extra in so that we come out on top. This is not how God operates. These are not God's motives. He is always fair. He is always just. He always has all the facts. Get out of the way and let him take care of it. Don't take his job. You and I can't do it anywhere near as good as he can. Let him do his job and trust him. Don't retaliate. Instead, serve others. We've already seen, again, back to last week, pursue what is good for both you, for yourselves, and for all. Instead of doing evil for evil, do good for evil. Paul reiterates that in verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. In both passages, Paul says, don't retaliate, do good. In Romans, we're told that when we do that, God is involved and something happens. When we serve others, when they do evil to us, there is a specific result that God is involved in accomplishing. And Paul quotes from Proverbs in Solomon's writing. He says, if your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you. Solomon, in writing this proverb, his audience originally would understand what heaping coals of fire on the head meant. We don't necessarily know for sure. There's a historical context that's not clear. And scholars, theologians, writers disagree on what this means. But because this is about enemies, about people who harm us, who we want to get even with, here's what I want it to be. I want it to be literal coals on top of somebody's head to get the point that they're treating me badly. You know, this is what I want. That's not what God says. It's very unlikely it's literal coals. But I don't even get to throw them. I don't get to have any part in it. The only way I get a part in it is if I do good. Then God takes care of that. When I'm serving, when I'm helping, when I'm doing good, God takes care of the heaping of the coals. That's part of his job. When I don't retaliate, when I love, when I serve, when I encourage, when I pray for, when I do good instead of evil to my enemies, to anyone who harms me, God uses it. How he does that is not clear, but it seems to be the context of there's a guilt, there's an embarrassment, there's an shame that I have treated someone this way and they have not responded naturally. They have responded supernaturally. If it's a fellow Christian, then the Holy Spirit is also involved in convicting them and saying, this person is loving one another and you are not. They didn't retaliate in spite of what you did. They returned good for your evil. They want another and you are not. Do you want to do this? Do you want to overcome evil? Do you want to defeat it? Look at verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. If you try to overcome evil by returning fire with fire, putting gas on the fire, being a natural response, God says it's not going to work. It's not going to work. The only way to defeat it, the only way to do it is return good for evil. Not more sin, not more fire, not more people getting hurt and burned. Putting out a fire with gas does not work. If you want to put out the fire, if you want to overcome evil, do it with good. Serve others. Love others. How do we respond to those people who sin against us, who do evil against us? Do we retaliate? Do we look for opportunities to get even? Do we look for opportunities to pick up that shovel and put the coals on their head instead of letting God do it? Or do we simply return good for evil? Love them, serve them, pray for them, and say, God, I'm getting out of the way. You do your job. I trust you. Don't retaliate. Don't retaliate. Instead, follow the example of Jesus. Jesus is the ultimate example of verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Jesus is not mentioned in our passage this morning, but he was the one who is perfect and innocent. He is the one who told Peter that I have the right and authority to call legions of angels down and deal with this situation justly, perfectly, and righteously. But I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Instead, I'm going to respond to the lies, the injustice, the whipping, the scourging, the flogging, the beating, the spitting, the beard pulling, the crown of thorns, the cross, the suffering, the abuse, to the cross and my death. I'm going to return good for evil. He overcame evil with good. Even though, unlike us, he had every right to judge and respond, he had every right to respond oppositely. Instead, what did he do? He prays from the cross, Father, forgive them, the people that are doing this to me, even though I'm innocent. He turns to the thief next to him, who had moments before been cursing and reviling him, who asked for grace, and he offers grace and salvation to that man. If Jesus, who had every right to respond in anger and punishment, did not retaliate to those who deserved it, we can as well. He chose to return good for evil. We can. Because unlike Jesus, there's very few occasions in situations where we're 100% innocent. And we're not. And God gave us grace instead of punishment. He gave us good for our evil, for our sin, salvation. Even though you and I deserve something different, we can choose to do the same for others. We can choose to do what Jesus did for us. We can give grace, mercy, love, and not retaliate to others, even if they do deserve it or we simply think they do. Are we going to choose to retaliate to that person we talked about right in the beginning, that person who maybe has harmed us, who's wronged us, and we want to or already have? The next time we are tempted to retaliate with our words, our actions, or even our thoughts, are we going to return good for evil? Look for specific reasons to be thankful, to combat anger and bitterness. Are we going to assume the best or the worst about people and their motives? Are we going to get out of the way, not do God's job for him? Let him do it. Let him heap the coals on, and we're not going to pick up the shovel. We're going to simply return good for evil. We're not going to handle the problem ourselves. We're going to trust God in the midst of it. Are we going to retaliate, or are we going to one another? Will we love one another? Will we be responsible for our actions no matter what anybody else does? Will we return good for evil? Who do we need to one another to? Who do we need to choose not to retaliate against after we've been challenged with this morning? Let's pray. Father God, we know that you have spoken to us individually and as a church. There are people that we have either retaliated against or desire to or are planning to. Lord, give us the strength, the grace, the ability to respond in ways that honor you, that demonstrate we love one another, to demonstrate we are willing to get out of the way, do good for evil, and let you handle the rest. Lord, as we come across that person or that situation today, tomorrow, this week, may we turn to you, choose to be thankful in that situation, and respond in ways that honor you. Lord, if we need to make amends, we need to make corrections, we need to ask forgiveness, we would do that. We would respond to your prompting and that we would choose to love one another and not retaliate, to do good and not evil. We thank you for this, we praise you for this, and we look forward to you helping us respond in the right way to people who do us harm, who do us evil, and that we would not assume negative, bad motives, but we would assume the best about others because that is what you have called us to do. We thank you and praise you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen.